All right, so I'd like to really finish off the area we've been doing. I mean, it turned into a long area, but I'd just like to finish off with a few comments on the area. And one thing that we mentioned, Shiras HaZina, we mentioned, and really the Rabban points out, the Ibn Ezra points out, that there are three siyumim to the Torah, three conclusions. One conclusion is the conclusion where Moshe Rabbeinu told the Levim, Lakoch HaSefer, excuse me, give me a second, Moshe Rabbeinu, in Vayelach, in Lamadav Pasuk Tes. Vayichtav Moshe Torzos Vayitna Lakon in B'nai Levi, Anosim Es Rambus Ad Hashem Val Kozik Nei Yisrael, and then Vayitzav Moshe Osom Lema Miketz Sheva Shonam Moish Nasa Shmita V'chag HaSukos. So that's one conclusion. That's the conclusion of the mitzvahs of the Torah. Then again, another conclusion is after the Shira, because then he received the tzivui to write the Shira, and that was added to the Torah. V'yichtav Moshe Shira Zos B'yom Ahu, V'yalamdos B'nei Yisrael, V'yikichalas Moshe Lichtav Estivei Torah Zos Al Sefer Atumam. Then Vayitzav Moshe Salavim Nosir and Brisad Hashem Lema Lakoch a Sefer Torah Zev Vesamtam Asom Yitzad Aram Brisad Hashem Lakechem Vayosho Mechol Eid. That was the second conclusion. So the first conclusion was the conclusion of mitzvahs. The second was the conclusion of the Shira, which was a separate entity, like we mentioned. Because the Shira really is the whole concept of Hashgachas Hashem from the beginning of Bereshis to the end of time. And then the third conclusion is the last eight psukim, famous last eight psukim in Machlokes, famous Machlokes are the last eight psukim in the Torah. And the last eight psukim in the Torah have to do with Misas Moshe Rabbeinu and the events of his Patira. So there are three conclusions. The Ramban has four. The Ramban has Vizosa Bracha also. But we're not, that's a separate thing, whether Vizosa Bracha was a separate conclusion. But basically it's three conclusions. It's a conclusion of all the mitzvahs of the Torah. Then Moshe Rabbeinu gave the Sefer to the Kahanim. He didn't say where to put it. Then what happened was he received the Tzivui on Ashira Sazinu, which is a Shira about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashgacha, which we mentioned. Ramban, and then after that, because that was supposed to be a unique separate entity, Hazinu, a unique separate Chafetz Shel Torah, and that was added, because that's the Shira of Kol HaTorah Kula. And that's why, that's really the limud for Ksiva Sefer Torah, is from that Shira. And then after that, the last conclusion, and last conclusion is the conclusion of the events of Moshe Rabbeinu's Patira. Okay? But I want to talk about that last conclusion. But before I do, I just want to mention something that in translating the Ramban on Hazinu, so I translated him loosely at the time. I realize that I didn't do him justice. Because Ramban says that, it's the Ramban that we did on Hazin Amati Afehem. So Ramban says that the whole purpose of the Hashgacha, of the Bria Sa'olam, is really for the world to recognize Sheyakir is Baro V'yoda L'shmo. Okay, V'yoda L'shmo. V'yoda L'shmo I translated loosely. But I think V'yod L'shmo demands a special treatment, what it means V'yod L'shmo. Because we always do Hodah. And we don't really understand what exactly we mean by Hodah. I mean, I know we passed across these ideas, came across these ideas before, but at the risk of being repetitive, let me just make sure that we covered everything. On the concept of modem, what it means, what do we mean when we say modem anachnu lach? What exactly does that mean? And you have a sitter. And in the Siddur, you have Modim Drabanan. You have Modim Drabanan, and Modim Drabanan is very strange. Because, Modim Drabanan. Modim Drabanan, it wasn't instituted by Anshe Knesset HaGdola. It was the Chachamim said it. So it appears strange. It's Modim Anachnu Loch. Shatar Hashem Olakenu V'Olakev Asenu Olakech Abasi Yitzreni Yitzer Bereshis. Then you say, the Sess of Goy Kain Chayimen is Chayimenu. The Sess of Goy Tzenech Hatz Kachech L'Shmo Chakech L'Sess L'Tzenech Olav Goy V'Shom Olshom Olshanach L'Modim Loch. So you come back and say, Olshanach L'Modim Loch. It's in Modim Loch, Modim Loch, and then you ask Olshanach L'Modim Loch. I mean, it's repetitious. It's repetitious. But the, that's because the idea of modem is a deep idea. It's not a simple idea. The one that really explains it the most is the best is Rashi and Sukkah. Because the Gemara says that when they used to part with the Mizbeach, so the Mishnah says that they would say, they would say b'shas p'tirosan, the end of the chag. Ma'in omrin yofi l'chom mizbeach, yofi l'chom mizbeach. Rabbi Eliezer omer l'kov aloch mizbeach, l'kov aloch mizbeach. So the Gemara asks a question. The Gemara says, how could you say l'kov aloch that we're mishabeach, l'kov aloch? Kol mishatev shein shemayim v'davrach es nekam en olam. Shenema bilti l'ad Hashem levado. So you're not allowed mitzarif mishatif shen shemayim davaracha. You can't praise God and something. That's nekem and olam. You can't put them both in the same phrase, in the same breath. So the Gemara says no. The Gemara says what it means is lekor hochikama lekor anachnu modim v'loch anu mishavchen. L'ko anachnu modim v'loch anu makalsin. Okay. So Rashi explains. L'ko anu modim, that means shehu alekeinu. That means God. V'loch anu mishapchim sha'ata choviv l'fanav l'chapar alenu. Modim lav loshen hod. It's not a loshen of hod, of beauty. A loshen toda. Sha'anu modim bov lo kofrim. So modim is like a hodos baldin. That's what modim means. It means you can be modif if someone makes a claim against you. So it's either modo or kofar. So what does modim and kofar have to do with over here with modim and achnuach? And I mean that's according to Rashi. That's the whole idea of modim. But the answer is that in giving hodor to God, we're in a strange predicament. Because, you see, if a person does a favor for another friend, for another person, so then you can thank him. Because you say, I thank him because I recognize that he did a favor for me. He recognized me and he did a favor for me. So therefore, I owe him a thanks. But if we would simply say, if we just say that simply by a Kadosh Baruch Hu, we would be presupposing something that's false, namely our own existence. Let's say a Kadosh Baruch Hu recognizes us and did us a favor, did us chesed, you see. But that's a problem. That's not really hadar. That would be kofar, you see. Because the truth is that our existence is not real existence. But our existence is contingent on him. Okay? So therefore you can't say thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu like you could say thanks to another human being. Because over there the thanks is thank you for recognizing me and thank you for doing this favor for me. Over here it's inappropriate. As a matter of fact, it's the opposite. Because what do you mean? You thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for recognizing you, for doing you a favor? I mean, where's your existence? So you're presupposing your own existence. You see? And that's a problem. And that's a problem. That's kfirah, really. Because in order to do a favor for someone, you have to have the someone. So when you say thanks, implicitly you're stating that this individual exists. So it's presupposing your own existence, which Kenegat HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a lie. As a matter of fact, I mean, that really is that's where the term modim velo kofrim comes from. Modim really means, essentially what modim means, we are moda, that our existence is not ours. That's what it really means. And we're not kofer. We don't deny that. It's like, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only real existence, so it's, so to speak, like we have a borrowed existence. So that means either you can be moda in the chov, in the borrowed existence, or you can be kofer, you can deny, you see. And that is really the essence of Yahadus, the essence of Yahadus, that, like Rashi says, modim anu modim bo velo kofrim bo. That's what modim means, we exceed, we admit. Because the nature of man is to assume his existence, that his existence is real, and where moda, that's not true. Where moda belongs to God. That's modim velo kofrim. So, Hodor really is the concept of, that's the concept of Hodor. That's the concept of Hodor. Hodor l'Kadosh Baruch Hu is not like you'd give thanks. It's a much deeper idea. It means that you admit that your existence is not real and is contingent on Him. And all the chesed that you have is not that he gives you chesed because you have real existence, but he is perfect and all his works are perfect, and that's why chesed is an expression of his perfection. It's a different concept of hodah. Different concept of hodah. You see, that's why we say, that's why you say, for instance, you always say, modim anachnu loch shatohu ad Hashem elokeinu velekei avaseinu lo'alavod tzur chayeinu. Tzur. What does tzur mean? What's the definition? The Ram says, the Ram in the Maravochim gives the definition of tzur. So the Ram says, it's in chapter 16. So he says the word tzur has many meanings. So he says, one of them in the Navi, it says, it is employed to signify the quarry from which the stones are hewn. That's one of the meanings of tzur, because the pasuk says that, in other words, the root and origin of all things. It says, because the pasuk says, you should look to Avram, look to the rock whence you are hewn. Look unto Abraham, your father. So the Navi says that you should, that Avram Avinu is, I forget the lashon, about tzur, Tzur? Chutzavta. Yeah. The rock from which you were hewn. So the Rambam says that, which means, so it says, look to Avraham Avinu. It says, the rock whence you are hewn. And that the prophet meant to say, walk in his ways, put faith in his instruction, and conduct yourselves according to the rule of his life. Okay. For the properties contained in the quarry should be found again in those things which are formed and hewn out of it. So it's telling you that that's a limud. It is in this latter sense that the Almighty is called rock, he being the origin and cause efficient of all things besides himself. Thus we read, he is the rock, his work is perfect. Okay? So, etc., etc. Ram goes on. So he says, be firm and steadfast in the conviction that God is the source of all things, for this will lead you towards the knowledge of the divine being. That's the idea of tzur. So you see, when we say modim anachnu loch, shato ad Hashem elokeinu, elokeinu v'sinu l'avoi, say rather tzur chayenu, the source of all existence. He is the only real existence. And similarly, modim drabanan, you say shato ad Hashem elokeinu elokeinu v'sinu l'kecha basa yotzreinu, yotzer bereshis. That's the modem anachnu, modem v'lo kofrim. That we don't deny that our existence is contingent. We're moda. It's a hard hodah, difficult hodah, but we're moda. And modem really is tied to a shachavah. And that's why we're mishtachva modem. So modem means shtachva also. Because shtachva means the same idea, shtachva. Shtachva lafanav means recognition that he's the only real existence, you see. So that's the real definition of modem. That's what the Ramban says. By the way, where do you see it most clearly? Most clearly, you see it in the hodah you say in the morning when you get up. Elokai neshama shenasata bi, tari ata varasa ata yitzata ata nafachta bi, ata meshamra bekir bi, ata aselitlu menel chazir bi laslova. Calls man shenashama bekir bi. Modan ilafonecha. Hashem, that's it. Okay. So, what do you say? You don't say any shavach. You're just saying calls manchan Hashem and kibim modim lufanechad Hashem like kavikav sorry ibank kol amasim not kol shamos. Right. What are you saying? Where's the odor? Where's the odor? Modim what? You're saying the answer is modim as lashon again. Calls man shen neshama makiri modan li lefonecha, that this neshama that's bekirbi is not me, is not mine. It's totally bach. That's what it means. Calls man shen neshama makiri modan lefonecha. That's what I'm moda. I'm moda on the neshama itself. As long as I have the neshama, I'm moda on the neshama that the neshama isn't mine. That the neshama is a result of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's bria. Of the Borei Olam. That's what it means. That's the meaning. That's exactly the meaning of Elokai Neshama. So that's the meaning of Hodor. That's the meaning of Hodor. And that's why you say, Modem Anachnu Lach, and then you say, V'sesof Goli Yisein L'chassos K'tshech L'shmach K'chav L'sos Yitzanach L'ov L'ev Sholem Al She'anachnu Modem Lach. See, that makes sense. Why? Because since we admit that our existence is contingent, that's why we ask that we should be the beneficiaries of Chayenus, Chaymenu, Vesesu, Gol Yosenu, because we have the basic fundamental idea correct. So that's why we should be zocha to have the other brachas, the other things that are nevei from that. You see, that's the concept of modem anachnu lach. That's the idea of modem anachnu lach. So modem anachnu lach is an idea which is a basic yisod, and that's what the Ramban meant when the Ramban said. I mean, he just said it in two words. Like I said, I didn't do it justice when I translated it the first time, but that's what the Ramban meant when he says sheyakir esboro v'yoda lishmo. It doesn't mean give praise. Of course, it's praise, but the yoda is more than praise. The yoda is a recognition that his existence is a contingent existence, contingent on the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what yoda is. Yes, okay. Go ahead. Yekel hados means kulachol levad. In other words, you're the only one that's roy for hodah, for shevach and hodah. It's shevach also. I mean, there's shevach because you have a lot of things there. It's shevach. But the shevach is the underlying idea that brings about the shevach is the recognition of the fact that our existence is contingent. And therefore, we mishabeach the one who is the source of all existence, and he alone is the one that's right to be mishabeach. But those are the ideas of modem. Okay? Okay? Yes. It's an integral part. That's what the Ramban says. Sheyakir is boro. That's what the Ramban says in two words. Sheyakir is boro v'yod l'shma. That's what it means. V'yod l'shma means that he recognizes that God is the source of all existence and his existence is contingent, and therefore God is the only one that's roi l'hodos. But it's l'shabeach. That he alone is the one that's roi l'shabeach l'hodos. L'hodos l'halo. So that's what it means. The Shimcha Gadol, the recognition of the Yodu L'Shimcha, the recognition of the idea of God, the correct idea of God, Yodu L'Shimcha. But Yodu is like a Yodu is a fundamental principle and idea. I mean, that's what we're mechaven to when we say everyday modu. So it comes out that when you have Hodor at the end of Tefillah, it means by the end of Tefillah you really fulfill your ultimate objective of Tefillah, the most important objective of Tefillah. The most important objective of Tefillah is not the things that the person asks for, but it concludes with the Yodu L'Shmo. So Modim is really the conclusion. That's why Chazal say it's so bad if a person isn't Korea by Modim. Shtachava means the same thing, recognition. It's a Shtachava. So a person that doesn't bow down by modem, because I'll say there's a different clause. I mean, it means, because that's really the whole climax of the tefillah. Climax of the tefillah is to reach that level, like the Ramban says, the Yodu L'Shmo. And the process of tefillah leads him to that level. So you see, so when you get to the end of the tefillah, don't think just because the bakashas are over, the main part of tefillah is gone. The main part is modem. Modem is the essence. Modem is the whole tefillah builds up to the modem anach nalach, which is the ultimate statement and recognition of the borei olam. That's what the Ramban says. Yodel l'shmo. Okay. Yes. Rashi says al shana modem lach. Rashi says daf mem amar alf misalka. Al shenasata b'libeinu lios modem lach dvukem bachul modem lach. That's what it means. Interesting, Rashi Shinasata Bulibeno. Means we don't even take credit for that. That's the Rashi saying. Even that we don't take credit for. Modem means completely modem. That's complete ishtachava. Means that we are nothing. That's the ultimate modem. Shekh. That's the Sotar of Memarmal. Really? Oh, I'm sorry about that. You did get further. You're moving further and further away. Yeah, it's true. The Rambam over there, where he says it's not an exact mashal, because with regard to Avraham Avinu, he says you should be like the thing which you were hewn from. So, but over here it's not. It means the source. But that's the Rambam in the Mora explains that the homonyms are used as comparatives in a certain sense and a certain sense only. So you have to know which sense it is referring, is it a reference to? That's what the Rambam is saying. So whenever you have a mashal in relationship to God, you have to know the sense in which the mashal is borrowed, the element you're borrowing from the mashal, because you're using a physical thing, so you can't have an analogy. But so that's why you have to know the sense from the sense of the thing. That's what the Rambam is saying. So it's one sense by Avraham Avinu, different sense with regard to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, that's a good point. By the Zos HaBaruch it says, Zos HaBaruch Asher Berach Moshe Ish HaLekim. So the Ramban says, V'hine Yikra Kosev L'Moshe Rabbeinu Ish HaLekim. V'chein She'or HaNeviim. V'Eliyov V'Zulosam. Like the Isha Shanama said, V'hine Ish HaLekim over Elenu Tomet. So he says, "V'loyomar kosev ish ad Hashem." Doesn't say that. Never find ish ad Hashem. It says, "Aval yomar Moshe eved ad Hashem." Okay. He says, "V'hatam yadu l'chol maskil." Okay. Yeah. So what's the reason? What's the reason? Okay. Ish olakim, you'll find never ish ad Hashem. Eved ad Hashem. Not Eved Elikim. It's an interesting thing. See, Eved Hashem, why do you say Eved Hashem? Because Eved Hashem means the Shem Hashem, the Shem Havaya. The Shem Havaya. So it means that the true Yediyas Hashem converts the person into an Eved. That's what it means. That's why it's Eved Hashem. It means, Eved Hashem means the Shem Hashem, the knowledge of the Shem Havaya, which means Yediyas Hashem, because there's only one Shem Hashem, that's the Shem Havaya. So that knowledge makes the person into an Eved. You see. That's why it says Eved Hashem. Ish Olekim, Olekim means how HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to the person. He bestows his Ashgacha on him. You see. He's Korov Elov. Mikad Hashem Olekenu V'chol Korenu Elov. So Olekenu means that he's Korov Elenu. So that's why the Ish Olekim is the one that's Korov Lashem, that's under his Ashgacha, and on a higher level under his Nevuah, and on the highest level under the greatest Nevuah, Nevuah's Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what the Ramban is saying. That's why it's Ish Olekim and Eved Hashem. Two different ideas. Okay. But what I wanted to do was the events of Moshe's Ptira, because you see, that seems to be clear. The Machlokas and Chazal, as to who wrote the last eight psukim, was it Yehoshua ben Nun, or was it Moshe Rabbeinu that wrote them because he received in advance the account, and he wrote them before his Patira? That Machlokas seems to be based on one thing. Because the question is, why should there be a machlekes? Why can't it be like Kol HaTorah Kulo? Well, Moshe Rabbeinu can't write something through Nevuah. I mean, Nevuah's Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest Nevuah. So why can't he write this in Nevuah? No, I mean, the Ramban shows there are things in the Torah that are before that. How do you have a machlekes? It's Sheker. So how does Rav Shimon say that he wrote it? But the answer is, like we said before, because there are three conclusions to the Torah. One is the conclusion of mitzvos. That's one institution was concluded. One kind of nevuah. Then, I mean, the same level of nevuah, but a different segment, which was hazino, a different parsha, okay, which is with a different set of ideas that underline the whole Kol HaTorah Kulo. That's shiras hazino. And the last things about Moshe Rabbeinu's Patira is not a subject of Nevuah. That's the Mekadesh. You see, the Mekadesh is the events. The events. The events themselves are the Mekadesh. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah was not the Mekadesh as a subject matter. As a subject matter, because as a subject matter, the Nevuah's Moshe Rabbeinu was always him being a misnabe. But Petirasso was not a subject matter for his Nevuah. But Petirasso, the events of his Petira had to be Nosef al HaTorah. And that's why it's a different quality. It was added to the Torah, of course, Mipi HaGvura. That it was added to the Torah had to be added, but it's an addition. It's an addition. The Mekadesh is the nature of the events, but not his Nevuah, not as a subject matter of his Nevuah. Okay, because of the events of his Patira. So that's why some Tanaim say that it's Yehoshua wrote it because events. So the events themselves, if it's the events that are Mekadesh, so then all you need is an account of the events. But Rav Shimon maintained, no, that because it says, L'koch ha-sefer ha-Torah zeh, so he says that Moshe Rabbeinu had to be Moser everything. So it'll come out that it lacks Mesiras Moshe Rabbeinu on the last day Pesukim. So therefore you must say that he wrote it through Nevuah. They wrote it in advance. Even though it's only the events that are the Mekadesh, the events that are important, and they were added to the Torah because those events had to be added, the events of his Patira are significant, and it's just the events that are the Mekadesh, but nevertheless, Moshe Rabbeinu had to do it in advance because of the Lakoch HaSefer Torah Zeh. That's the Machlekes. But anyway, whatever it is, the Machlekes, but the fact is that the events of his Patira, there was Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu, Bechayov, and that's Kol HaTorah Kulo, and that's essential. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that the events, after he died, the events of his Patira must be added to his Nevuah. So that's the last eight psukim. that the events of his patira must be add the events to his nevuah. That's the hashlomas ha-sefer. So if you're missing that, so you're lacking a sefer Torah. Okay, even though it's there for a different reason, it's not there because of nevuah Moshe Rabbeinu. It's there because the events had to be added to his nevuah, a different reason. So what kind of a, what is that, what exactly is the idea of the events of his patira? Why was that added to the Torah? Okay? So we have a few things here. A few interesting things about it. Okay? One thing is, interesting is, Rashi quotes, it's a chazal in Avos. That Vayikboso Vagai Beretz Moav Mul Beis Par. So Rashi says, Mul Beis Par, Kivra Hoyamuchan Shamisheshis Me Breshis, Vachapra Maise Par. That his Kivra was there from Shesh Me Breshis. Why? Vachapra Maise Par. I mean, on the surface, of course, it sounds like a completely. Completely absurd type of a thing that Moshe Rabbeinu, the Adonai Neviim, the Ishol Akim, the ultimate Ishol Akim, that he should, in his kvura, should have a shaychus to the worst of Avodah Zarah, Pa'or, is an astounding kind of a thing. But you see that it was actually Rashi's kivra yamuchan sham. So there's something significant there. Okay. Another thing is Rashi before says that Vayareshis lo by God, because he was buried in the chelak of God. Kishom chelkas mechokek sofon. So chelkas mechokek, what does that mean? It means the chelak of the mechokek. Mechokek is Moshe Rabbeinu. His sofon is hidden over there. So Rashi says that Sofon Oso Chelka Tsefuna Utmuna Mikol Beria. It's hidden from every creature. Shenemar Veloya Yoda Ishes Kvaraso. So of course the Pasuk says the same Pasuk Ibras of Agai Veloyoda Ishes Kvaraso Arayomaza. So apparently there is some significance also to the fact that lo yoda ish es kvaraso. Okay, kisham chelkas mechokek sofon. So Rashi says that chelak of which means the kever of Moshe Rabbeinu is mechusa sofon mikol beria, sofon the tomen mikol beria. It's hidden. Interesting is the Gemara in Sota. Gemara and Sota. A few interesting things in Gemara and Sota. Gemara and Sota says like this. Gemara and Sota says like this. V'yeshomrim, strange Gemara, V'yeshomrim lo meis Moshe. You give him a base. V'yeshomrim lo meis Moshe. He didn't die. Why? K'siv hocha v'yomos shom. Pasuk Vayomos Sham Moshe Ever Arashem, Uksiv Hasam Vayi Sham Im Arashem. So Ev Sham Sham, Mal Halon Omedu Meshamesh, Afkan Omedu Meshamesh. Just like over there he's Omedu Meshamesh, so over here too is Omedu Meshamesh. Just do that like the Ibn Ezra says. If you allow the freedom of such type of comparisons, indications by words. You can do a lot of strange things. But Chazal don't mean it's a Gzera Shavah. It's a Gzera Shavah. It's not a Gzera Shavah. It's an idea. But we'll come back to that idea. What is the idea? Let's go a little further. It says like this. Vayik Barso by Guy Beretzmov Mul Beis Par. So there's a Chazal. Amar Reb Berechia. Simen Besoch Simen. You have all these simanim, in other words. Vigraso Bagai, Beretz Moav, Mul Beis Pa'or. So the Gemara may say, you see, the Torah is giving you all these simanim, and it sounds like you should be able to identify it. I mean, otherwise, what's the purpose of these all these simanim? So he says, "Vafilu hachi v'layodish eskvarasa." But in spite of that, layodish eskvarasa. So what is the pasuk? Chazal trying to interpret the pasuk. I mean, he's buried here. This all this specific, and layodish eskvarasa. Filu hachi. What is the idea? What is the concept? So the Gemara says, "Ukvar sholcha malchus harasha etzel gistera shel beis par." So the evil kingdom, I don't know which one, sent to the one that was in charge of the land, the ruler of the land of Beis Par, and they said, "Hareinu heichan Moshe kavur." Okay, show us where Moshe Rabbeinu is buried. Omdu lemaila, so they stood on top of the hill. Nidme lehem lamato, so it looked like he was buried on the bottom. Lamato, they went down to find the kever. Nidme lehem lamala, so they thought he was buried on top. Then they saw him on top. Nechleku l'shte kitos, so they broke up into two groups. So osan she'omdim lamala, the ones that were on top, nidme lehem lamata, so they thought he was on the bottom. And lamata, the ones that were on the bottom, nidme lehem lamala, they thought he was on top. L'kayim mashenema v'loyoda ish eskvarasa. Okay? L'kayim mashenema v'loyoda ish eskvarasa. So that's to fulfill the pasuk v'loyoda ish eskvarasa. Interesting chazal. Interesting chazal. What? What exactly is the limur? Yeah. But interesting is, the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says further, "V'omar Rabbi Choma bar Rabbi Chanina, mipnei ma nikva Moshe etzel beis pa'or." It is Rashi. "Kedei l'chapra maise pa'or." "Kedei l'chapra maise pa'or." So Tosfos quotes a Medrash Agada here. It says, "U'medrash Agada b'chol shana v'shana, be'eis shechotu Yisrael b'bnos Moav, v'oso prak," in the same time as b'nos Moav, they fell prey to Benos Moav, is Beis Por Ola Lamaila, Kedei Lekatreg. So Beis Por goes up Lamaila in order to testify against us. Ulahaskir Avon, Ukishehu Roa Kivro Shel Moshe, Choza V'Shokea. And when it sees the Kever of Moshe Rabbeinu, it's Choza V'Shokea, and it's sunken once again. V'Shokea, Shem Moshe Rabbeinu Shako Bakarka At Chotmo. And every time it goes up, the Moshe Rabbeinu pushes it down again. Strange Medrash Agada. Mitosfos Rebbe, he says. Okay. Yeah. But what are Chazal saying over here? What's the idea in Chazal? I think first of all, it's a fundamental yisod. And the fundamental yisod is that you see that Moshe Rabbeinu is buried mul beis pa'or there's an idea here. What is the idea? The idea is that Avodah Zorah is not a taboo. So Avodah Zorah is not a taboo. A taboo. People that believe in taboos, they keep the things that are sacred to them, they keep the furthest away from the taboo. You see? But here you see Moshe Rabbeinu, the Adon HaNaviim, is Vayikbaso Bagai Mul Beis Par. Because Avodah Zorah is not a taboo. We don't look at it as a taboo. We look at it as a natural thing. It's a warp, but it's a natural force. Because what it is the instinctual part of man invading his element of thought and cognition and his selam alakim and his ability to think and to understand. You see, that's what Avodah Zarah is. That's the definition of Avodah Zarah. And Moshe Rabbeinu is the ish alakim that is the furthest removed from that. Because Kol HaTorah Kula is the removal of Avodah Zarah and denial of Avodah Zarah. And Moshe Rabbeinu is the individual who is the Seichel Nifrad, which means he's a pure sechel, and there are no instinctual elements involved in his tzelem elokim. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. So the kvura of Moshe Rabbeinu is mul beis pa'or. It means that this is really, he reflected kol ha'tarakua. He reflected kol ha'tarakua. And that's why the event of his patira and his kvura had to be nosef al ha'tarah. So there was nevuaso shel Moshe Rabbeinu, but nevuaso shel Moshe Rabbeinu was not complete to make a Sefer Torah until what was added to the Sefer Torah was the nature of his kavura, which was muchan misheshes yimei bereshis, because of the significance that in his misa and in his kavura he stands as the opposite of Avodah Zarah and the ultimate human being. That's Vayigbar so by Guy Mul Beis Par. That's Mul Beis Par. And that's what the Medrash means, that whenever the Beis Par is Ola Lamailo and is Makatreg, what does that mean? What it means is, every year at the same time, what it means is when the instinctual part element in Klal Yisrael starts awakening, so Moshe Rabbeinu puts it down. Why? It means the study of Moshe Rabbeinu, the study of the Adon HaNeviim, and the Limud of Moshe Rabbeinu, through the account that we have in the Torah, is the thing that pushes down, that destroys the instinctual desire for Beis Par, for Avodah Zarah. That he stands as the antithesis of Avodah Zarah, and through studying him, Avodah Zarah is destroyed. That's Ishakua. Ishakua. I shouldn't say destroyed, I should say Shakua. Because destroyed is something which you can't, you know, it's interesting, it's Ad Chotmo. So apparently, the Chazal Hel recognizes that to obliterate it completely is not possible, but to keep it in a suspended state, that is possible. That is possible, and that's the limud of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's why Chazal say that. That's why his kvura mul beis par, bagai mul beis par, was a necessity. Was a necessity, because the idea of the Ishol Akim is what helps Klal Yisrael to survive and not to give in to Avodah Zarah. It's an interesting thing. It's an interesting thing. And you see, interestingly enough, you see that even throughout the Doros, where on the whole, where Klal Yisrael left the mitzvos, but on the whole, they couldn't accept Avodah Zarah. They didn't accept Christianity. They couldn't do it because there's something that prevented them. And that's what Chazal say is, even on a surface level, the idea of Moshe Rabbeinu, the person of Moshe Rabbeinu, was a ma'akev in terms of their losing themselves completely to Avodah Zarah. So that's really what Chazal mean when they say, V'yesh yomrim lo meis Moshe, k'siv hachav ha'yomas shom, ukisiv hasan vayishom imar Hashem mal halon omedu meshamesh afkan omedu meshamesh. That's what it means. It means the patira of Moshe Rabbeinu was not a negative, was not an absence. You see, if it were an absence, then that's it. He doesn't exist. But as an omedu meshamesh, but vayomas shom Moshe ever at Hashem means that in his patira, there is a positive. There is a positive. The events of his kavura, the events of his kavura, are necessary to be nosaf on the Torah, because he's omedu meshamesh. His patira is a reflection of an individual that through a knowledge of this individual, through the understanding of the account of Moshe Rabbeinu, Eved Ad Hashem, Avodah Zarah is held at bay, held in suspension. That's what Chazal means. That he's Omer Mashamish. It means Vayikbar also is not the absence of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's a positive element. That he is a positive force. And an Omer Mashamish in a different manner. In a different manner. But it's true. And it is a powerful force. That's why these events had to be added to the Torah itself. Okay? Now, what does Chazal mean when they say, with that marshal, the marshal over there, where they have the, that they wanted to find the kever of Moshe Rabbeinu. So, what does it mean, they want to find the kever of Moshe Rabbeinu? What it means is, you see, why were they looking for the kever of Moshe Rabbeinu? The Gemara calls him Kvar Shochel Malchus HaRashah. Why were they Rishayim? They want to find the kever of Moshe Rabbeinu? Kever of a Tzaddik? So why are they Rishayim? The answer is a kever could be two things. A kever could be an instrument in a vehicle for tzaddikim, but it could be just the opposite also. Al nosik bereini b'mitzrayim, because the kever could be a vehicle of avodah zarah. That's what Yaakov Avinu said. Al nosik bereini b'mitzrayim. So they wanted the kever because they wanted something tangible from this man of God. They wanted something tangible, something magical, some kind of a power that they can gain from it, you see. So they went to look for the kever, and when they looked from the top, they thought they saw it on the bottom. So they ran down to the bottom, and then they thought they saw it on the top. So what does it mean? It means that the kever was made in a way that the individual, it defies the individual's desire to make an avodah zarah out of him. Because the individual sees it because they're projecting their own desire. And that's why they see the kever, because they want it, you see. But that's really derech avodah zarah. See, that's derech avodah zarah. But the moment they get there, it's not there. Because It was made, worked out mipi agvura, that he should never be such an instrument. You see, but interestingly enough, I mean, then the Gemara could have stopped by when they went down and then they saw it on top, but it went on further. The Gemara, it says, so then they broke up into two kitos, and the one that was on the top saw it on the bottom. And the one on the bottom saw it at the top. What does Chazal mean to bring out with that last element of the mashal? An interesting thing. It means when they saw that, then it became clear that it was a projection. You see, then they realized that it's a projection. So they knew that what we're looking for doesn't exist. That's Avodah Zarah, and that's not Moshe Rabbeinu. So what the Medrash, what the Gemara is saying is that Moshe Rabbeinu's existence is not only that, and the incidents and the elements of his kavura is not just that he's the Ishul Akim, the highest level, the antithesis of Avodah Zarah, and the aim of Kol HaTorah Kula, and that he wasn't, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't allow him to become anything else, you see, even Lacha Patiroso, but on the contrary, he's an element that changes over the lave of the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, that they recognize their own flaw. He's a vehicle and an instrument of individuals recognizing, if they seek it out, like they did over there, because they made an experiment. First they thought it was down the bottom, and they saw it was on the top. So they said, well, let's see. Let's make an experiment. They divided it up. And they saw that each one just projects their own thing. So it means if a person searches, if an individual searches, so the Moshe Rabbeinu will be a vehicle of disclosing his own idolatrous desires. And through that, if he's honest, it could be Machzir Olamutav. That's l'kayem v'lo yoda ishes k'varasa arayam hazeh. That's why those events had to be Nosef al HaTorah, after Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu. Interesting is, Chazal say, the last Chazal say, Kosnos Or, Rabu Shmuel, okay, so Machlek, by Kosnos Or, Kadosh Baruch Hu made Kosnos Or for Adam and Chava, you remember, in the Vayal Bishet. So the Gemara says that Vayasad Hashem Alekim Ladam Alishno Kosnos Or Vayal Bishem. So the Gemara says, Torah, Tchilasa Gemilas Chasadim, Vesofa Gemilas Chasadim. Tchilasa Gemilas Chasadim, the beginning is Gemilas Chasadim, Vechsuv Vayasad Hashem Alekim Ladam Alishno Kosnos Or Vayal Bishem. Vesofa Gemilas Chasadim, and the end is Gemilas Chasadim, Vechsuv Vayikbo So Bagai. Okay? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Kovah Moshe. So, of course, it means from Shesh Mebreshis. It wasn't something at the time. It was Mesheish Mebreshis. That's what Chazal say, because it was an ace. And it was fixed in the Bria, that place. So that when it went in, it closed up. So the Gemara says that Chilasso is Gmilas Chasodim and Sof was Gmilas Chasodim. What do you mean? What does that mean? Chilasso. I mean, that's an astounding thing. I mean, what the main thing of Kol Tar Kula is denial of Avodah Zarah and Akaras HaBorei, like the Ramban says, Sheyodu L'shmo. Gmilas Chasodim is very nice, but that's not the ultimate. I mean, of course, it's Ma'al V'Afato. But I mean, but first, the first thing is Yedias Hashem. That's the first thing. So why is it Chilasso Gmilas Chasodim V'Sofo Gmilas Chasodim? One would say, on the contrary, that the beginning of the Torah is Avraham Avinu, and that's, of course, Avodah Zarah, and the end is Moshe Rabbeinu's, of course, Avodah Zarah. But the answer to Chazal is saying something different. Chazal is saying like this. You have to look into what, a little deeper what they're saying. They're saying like this, that the beginning is Kosnos Or. It means that in the beginning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man in a way that after he was a Chote, so what happened, so he couldn't live with himself. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him Kosnos Or. So to soothe his psyche from the guilt pangs of the chait, so he can live psychologically. He can have psychological well-being enough to be able to continue to live. That was Gemilas Chasodim. And in the end is Gemilas Chasodim, Vayikbo So Bagai, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chesed was that he gave man his metaphysical well-being, the instrument and the vehicle through which he can obliterate Avodah Zarah from his heart, so that he could live a life of Chochma and Emes. That's Chilasso Gmilas Chasodim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu first helped man insofar as his psychological nature and his psychological needs, and Sofo Gmilas Chasodim, in the end, is Gmilas Chasodim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vayikbo So Bagai, and Oso Kever was Muchan Mishesh Zmei Bereshis, in order that man should be able to remove Avodah Zarah from his heart and live metaphysically in the real world. That's the theme of the Torah. Okay, stop it. Yeah. Yeah, one more point. By the Avos and the Imos, we know where the Kvarim are. We know it. On the contrary, we have to know. Maaseh Machpelah. But that's a difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and the Avos and the Imos. In the Avos, a person can identify with the Avos, even though perhaps not always appropriately, but he can, because of their lives and the way the Torah describes them, and can learn Mimasehem. That was the objective of the Torah in depicting the Avos, that we should learn Mimasehem. And that's why the Kever is something which inspires the individual to live that way, like the Rambam says. That the Pasuk says, Navi says. It means that we're inspired by the others. But Moshe Rabbeinu, really, as an individual, you can't identify with him. He is simply the Ish HaLakim par excellence, and he's the one Asher Yedo Hashem Panim al Panim. It's a different phenomenon. And because of that, the kever would be precisely because of that reason, the Asher Yedo Hashem Panim al Panim, that he was that individual, So the kefir would be used as an attempt to do something which is idolatrous, which is avodah zarah, you see. And he wasn't an individual which the account of the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu is a different kind of account, because he was a different kind of a person. So the account is simply the one that reached the ultimate Yedias Hashem. And it's a different kind of an account. So there the kever is a danger. But by the Avos and the Imos, there the Torah's purpose is, on the contrary, to disclose the Chaye Avos and the Imos, that a person can identify with them and can be lo made mimasehem. So then that's why the Maaros and Machpelah was necessary. But Moshe Rabbeinu is the opposite.